Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. We are on episode 9, and I am Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she is producing the show. We are here to magically turn your knitting questions into knitting answers. If you'd like to get your question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and be sure to tell us where you're from, because we are obviously having a lot of fun finding out where people are from all over the world asking knitting questions. And as always, everything we talk about will be in the show notes for every episode. So just go to verypink.com, and the podcast tab at the top of the page is where you can find the show notes. And Casey, do we have knitting questions? Do we have something else to start with?
We have knitting questions.
Is that how we're going to start?
I think so.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about something else.
Talk about the shows I'm watching on PBS.
Talk about the books.
Talk about the bread that I'm baking. We can talk about, my point is we could talk about other things, but we'll limit it.
It would be very rambling and strange.
We have to have a focus or it's not a good podcast.
All right. Wendy asks, I'm working on a pattern with a chart and I've never worked with a chart before. It is very challenging and I'm really having a hard time with it, thinking about giving up. But I thought I would ask if there's any trick to it. I keep losing my place in the pattern.
That's a good question, Wendy. And I have a good answer, because I just knit a giant Fair Isle cardigan coat. And I had to work from the same chart over and over again. And what I did that I found it was really effective with this one was every time I finished a row, I took a ruler and a highlighter pen and essentially crossed out that row. So it was highlighted, but my eyes were trained not to look at the, my eyes were trained to look above the highlighted row. Mm-hmm. And I did it that way because it was a big chart. If I'm working from a smaller chart, I'll take a sticky note and just cover up the rows I've already done. But this was a full size, a full page of chart, and that's how I did it. And I had to work through this same chart multiple times, and I just went back to the PDF and printed that same page out over and over again, and then just kept crossing off. I didn't want to mess up, and it was just...
That was an intense sweater.
And you know, I got to wear it one time before it got hot.
So sad.
It's so sad. Anyway, what do you do? Do you work from any charts like that?
I just did my famous top that we keep talking about was lace. And
everyone's
going to
think that's the only thing you've ever knit. This one lace top,
one
it's
lace
really
top
nice.
That I won't stop talking about. So I have a magnet board, and you can put the pattern on there. And there are these magnet strips, and so those are your markers. But when I finish it, I always put a little tick mark next to that row.
And you just slide the magnet, because it's a long, skinny magnet that you slide. I have one of those, but I never use it because the back of the pad, not the skinny magnet part, but the back of it, is only like this 10 by 5-inch thing, so it's not big enough for a whole page.
This is just like, I don't even know where I got it, because... And it's the size of an 8.5 by 11.
That's what you need.
But I also have, I think I know what you're talking about, like folds. I have one that folds and it's magnetic. Because part of the problem is I was using it the first time I used it. And if I didn't mark where I was, sometimes the magnet moves if I shove it in my bag.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
And that's terrible because you don't know where you are. But my mom recently started using painter's tape, which I thought was genius.
Oh, because it unsticks.
It's not sticky. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. Or there's a... app Knit Companion, I think it's called.
Right, yes.
Which I used that for a long time because I did knit something else besides my lace top. So it has all these markers and you can put notes on it.
Yeah.
It's really fancy. But I found that I didn't like using, I don't like to read from a Kindle. I don't like to do anything electronic that's not like electronic stuff. So I didn't really like it because I would find myself like checking my email in between rows or doing stuff like that. So
that's actually why I like to read books from my Kindle, because I have a regular Kindle Paperwhite that that's all it does is let me read books. And so I'm not distracted by a Facebook message or an email that comes in or something. So I totally understand that. And I prefer to work from paper printouts as well because I like to take notes. But I think my friend really likes Knit Companion, and he uses it with charts, and I'm sure that he's able to take all the notes and everything he wants.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, it's a big program that does a lot of things.
Yeah, and you pay for it. It's not, I mean, it's for an app, it was kind of pricey, but You can keep all your patterns in there. It's really neat.
Did you use it on your iPad or your phone?
I used it on my iPad.
Okay, because I think that's the easier way to do it is on mm-hmm. a bigger device
yeah.
where you have more room to read the charts and stuff.
Yeah.
Just finding a way to make it so that your eyes don't jump all mm-hmm. over a chart, I think, is the best answer for Wendy. And for me, that's highlighting the row. For you, it's using the magnet thing, a smaller chart. You can use a sticky note just to make it so your eyes fall back to where you need to be. Because mm-hmm. that is a huge waste of time when you're knitting across a row. It takes you, you know, 20 seconds to find where you are mm-hmm. in the pattern every time.
Yeah. And to make sure that the the legend is close by
yes.
too, because sometimes you'll
you're
look
darting
at, what does
back
that
and
mean?
Forth. Yes.
So this pattern I was working on, it had a you slip to knit and then
PSSO,
something like that.
Yeah.
It was a one that I didn't know, and then there was one that was similar. It was like S2P or something like that.
Going yeah.
So they were similar, and I had it. So I wrote next to the legend what each of those meant. I wrote it out so I knew.
And you had to keep darting back to look mm-hmm. at what it. Yes. You could have used a highlighter pen to highlight that one, you know, one of them with red or something.
But I still didn't know. Like when I got, the picture is a different picture, but I was like, okay, what is that again?
Oh.
Slip two.
Yes, I totally get that. So. That's why it's, I think the most fun lace patterns for me or working from a chart are the ones I can memorize mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did we answer that? I think we did.
I think we did.
All right. Dominic asks, my yarn tension seems to loosen when I purl Portuguese style. How can I prevent this?
Dominic, you've already answered half the question yourself. I get questions from folks asking me very specific things about very specific places in knitting, like Dominic's asking about purling on the Portuguese side and having a tension issue. And I get this question, it'll be similar, like, Stacy, the first stitch of every purl row is always really tight or loose or whatever. Or every time I do a knit two together, the next stitch is twisted. So I'm making it really, really general so you can see. If you know where the problem is, you know where to watch for it to fix it, right? If you know that Portuguese purling is loose for you, tighten it up. When in Portuguese knitting, you have the yarn around the back of your neck and wrapped through the fingers on your right hand. Just tension that up, like pull the knitting away from you a little bit so it's tighter around the back of your neck to tighten that up. Or if someone is saying the first stitch of every purl row is really tight, well, every time you're going to work the last stitch of every knit row or the first stitch of every purl row, pay attention to your tension on that. Make sure it's loose. If you know where the problem is and exactly where it's happening, just make sure that alarm bells go off in your head every time you get to that point, and then you're halfway to fixing the problem. Just pay attention, pay close attention to what you're doing. And for Portuguese knitting, it's pretty easy to tighten up your tension. Have you tried it yet?
Mm-mm.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Every video, I shot a bunch of Portuguese knitting videos recently, and every video is probably longer than it needs to be because I'm just Portuguese knitting and I think it's fun and I'm doing it, so don't stop me.
She's a wild woman.
Oh, totally. A party animal.
All right. This one comes from, I think, is it EI or L?
Yes. I put this question in here today. Her name is L.
L, currently living
Eleanor.
Eleanor. Currently living in Hong Kong as a non-permanent resident, but returning to Florida. So more international listeners.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Heard your first two podcasts and liked them, so here's a question. How do you make the leap from knitting to design? Mm-hmm. Did you take any special classes? Was there an aha moment when you felt like you were successful at designing? Any recommendations for someone intrigued at the possibility of designing?
I don't know if there was ever an aha moment or if there was ever a big leap, because, gosh, I'm one of those weirdos. I started... not because I was a brilliant kid, but I started designing as a kid just because I want to make that. So they weren't good designs, but they were designs and I learned from them, of course. What do you think?
I don't design.
But I think the way you leap into designing is you get an idea for something and you try it. And the first 10 times you do it, it might not be great, but you learn from all those times and you do a lot of ripping back. So like if there is an aha moment, it's a whisper, not a bang. You know?
I think reading about other people coming to their designing. Like, there's so many knitters, designers out there who are like, I've been knitting for 3 years and now I'm designing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
But I think you come from it either, like, if you've got a background in fashion or, you know, right. So you're like that kind of thinker or architecture, whatever. And you just kind of come by it naturally. And then there's the people who are probably more like me who are like, I have to study and take classes and learn how to do this.
Yeah. Well, someone who I just said that if you've been knitting for 3 years and now you're this amazing designer, you're not crazy. That's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Because I would think it would take someone a lot longer to understand just the nature of knitting. Because mm-hmm. it's so different from sewing because you're actually making the fabric and shaping the fabric. But no, there was no... There was no aha moment for me. There were just things that I wanted to knit and I didn't have a pattern for them. And so I made them up and I made a lot of mistakes and I learned a lot from them. And now, you know, 45 years later, I can, I honestly, it's kind of a good feeling. There's, I can make any shape in knitting.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how challenge. Something has to go. I know, I was just looking at that candle. I can do that. I can shape
these monkeys.
I can make a monkey.
I actually knit a monkey. It's one of my favorite things I've ever knit, but I didn't design it.
But yeah, there's no aha moment, but understanding knitting, and I guess the main motivation is there's something you want to make and you don't see it, and so you have to make it up yourself.
Well, and back to our previous episode, I can't remember which number when we were talking about the
Oh, did
masters.
I say that this is episode 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about the master's program.
Right.
And that those kind of courses, or if you subscribe to the TKGA magazine, there's all kinds of instructions, or any magazine, really. They're always talking about different shaping techniques
right.
or cast on.
Right.
You know, if you just learn from those things and add on.
And keep building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is important to understand. These are things, of course, you can learn. You can learn by doing and learn by making mistakes and stuff. But just the simple question of, should this thing I'm designing be seamed or unseamed?
Mm-hmm.
Structurally, how heavy is the yarn in relation to the piece? Is it a baby sweater and it's a heavy yarn? You're all right. If it's a heavy yarn and a man sweater, that's a lot of fabric. You know, mm-hmm. you have to start thinking about, do I need to get structure in this somewhere? And taste is a whole other thing, of mm-hmm. course. And that's totally subjective, eye of the beholder kind of a thing. But actually making something that works and that holds up and that is wearable and then also looks good and is something that is fun to knit. All things that come into mind. I say, if you're interested in designing, just give it a go. Give mm-hmm. it a go. Design some stuff. Put it out there on Ravelry. Let's see if people like how it looks, and you can just keep learning along the way. I don't know that there is really... I'll bet there are classes out there on how to design a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any classes on that because it's... To put it in a half-hour lesson would be so limiting.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's some books out there, too.
That's probably book. The way to go, because mm-hmm. a book... Oh, yes, actually, I think I have a Elizabeth Zimmerman book on mm-hmm. designing sweaters. Yeah.
And there's some good books, I want to say Ann Budd or something like that, where it's like a very basic pattern, but different gauges and different sizes.
Right.
And so you kind of customize
that's
it.
That's what
I
thought about
way
doing.
To start.
That's the video I thought about doing, is saying, this is how to design a top-down raglan sweater with mm-hmm. any of these different, you know, different sleeve lengths, different collars, different mm-hmm. pullover, cardigan, and really, but you have to really limit the scope of the whole thing mm-hmm. because you can't say, you can't include everything. It's just way too many factors.
Yeah.
Wow, I made that a long, long answer.
Well, I'm going to skip the question after that and come to this one because it kind of goes with that. What comes first, the pattern or the yarn? Do you see great yarns and think, I'd love something out of that, but what and how much yarn do you buy? Or do you strictly choose a pattern first?
This is a bigger question than she knows she's asking because it's always the pattern first. But not everyone's going to agree with that. But this is me answering the question. It's always the pattern first. And that's because I don't ever buy yarn unless I'm going to cast on with it right away. I don't have any stashed yarns. And I think the way that people end up with stashed yarns is, oh my God, this is beautiful. I'll find something to knit with it. Uh-huh. Because in her question, she says, how much do you buy? Well, you have no idea because you don't know what you're going to make with it. So right. don't buy it yet. I thought you'd argue with me, Casey.
Oh, I have a terrible stash.
Okay, so what goes through your mind? How does yarn end up in your stash?
Oh, it may be that I saw a pattern and then I was going to make it.
Okay,
make
so you that maybe did first. Start with a pattern.
And then I get there and I was like, oh, I don't know. Or a lot of times it's like, this yarn is beautiful and I just want it. I'll find something.
Okay, so you don't have a pattern in mind, but you're sure that there's one out there?
Yeah, or I'm like, I'll get two or three skeins and then I'll make a scarf.
Two or three, okay,
or
yes.
Or whatever, you know.
Actually, that works. If you, like, Christmas is coming up and you want to make scarves, mm-hmm. this is a gorgeous yarn, you can guess on how much, mm-hmm. about how much to buy for a scarf, but, so how does it go from I love this thing to it's in a plastic bin?
Because I get distracted. Because I'm working on something else. Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the answer to me is the pattern always comes first. Really, this is just the way that I am. I don't like storing things, anything. Hmm. I don't like keeping extra things and filling my closets. But in the line of work that I'm in, if I just bought yarn willy-nilly and stored it, where would I live?
You'd have to buy a separate house.
I'd have to buy, and they'd put me on the TV show.
Hoarders, Knitting Edition.
Yes. I mean, my dogs would have little paths through the house. I mean, I have to keep it under control, but I always start with a pattern. And for me, the more interesting element is the pattern. The yarn is secondary. Of course, I see beautiful yarns. I do get excited about yarns, but the pattern's always the thing for me.
But in design, so if you're designing something, are you designing it based on the yarn?
Nope.
Or are you designing it based on what you want to design?
I design it first, then I find the yarn that I think will work with it, and I order. Usually I'll order a little bit of a few different kinds of yarn and swatch out the stitch design in a few different yarns and then pick from there. Mm. It's always the pattern first, both design and actually, I didn't know that about myself until you asked.
Stacy's figuring herself out.
This is my
through
therapy
the podcast.
You'd think I know by now, but I've been knitting so long. I mean, it might as well like be breathing or what, you know, getting myself dressed in the morning.
Well, yeah, we can't go into my knitting stash issues.
We can't? You know what?
Well,
next episode, we are so asked. what were we going to say?
Bring
people?
My stash and have a deep confessions. I do get people give me yarn too,
as a present.
Yeah, so
like
I have
other
some
knitters
of that.
Or just friends.
My mom or my mother-in-law.
Oh, see, that's
or
nice.
My friends. So I do have some of that random stuff that I was like, okay, thanks. What am I going
to
do with this?
You brought me yarn as a gift last summer. You went to Maine, brought me back yarn,
and you
within
knit
a few
it right
weeks,
up.
I had it knit up.
But I'm still working on my project that I bought similar yarn for.
Yeah, you bought the same kind of yarn for yourself.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was, it was like
Three Sisters?
Yeah. No, Seven Sisters yarn. Not three. There's more sisters. But the packages were, what do you call it?
It's gradient. a gradient set. It's a gradient set. I think it had
so
five
yours,
hanks of yarn.
Yeah. And yours was like turquoises.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's black and grays.
Nice.
So, but that's my carry along project, and I'm calling it piano lessons because.
Oh, that's good.
It's striped. It's based kind of loosely based on your cowl, but I didn't pay attention to the pattern. I just started making it up as I went along.
Oh, that's right. My sixes and threes pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my carry along when I am sitting during my son's piano lessons.
Right.
So it's taking me forever because I knit like half an hour at a time
well,
once
no,
a week.
Well, no, it works because it's a small enough project mm-hmm. to fit in your bag and you're taking it with you and you're working on it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was nice gift yarn.
Yeah.
People actually don't usually give me yarn.
I know.
As a present. So
they're probably afraid that you have too much.
And people don't knit things for me either.
Oh, I'm sure.
People don't knit. I never get, well, my friend Steven knit a baseball for me. He knit a baseball because I'm a baseball fan, and it's he knit it for my birthday probably like 6 years ago or something, and it has Pride of Place in a candlestick holder on my dining room table like it's a part of the
like
crystal. Yes. I'm just very proud of the baseball that he knit for me.
That's funny.
How are we doing
We're
on time
close
here?
On time. So should we close it out with what are the best gifts for people who knit? Since nobody gives you
we
yarn, what do you want?
Nobody gives me yarn. Nobody gives. Well, the best gifts would be, I would say, a gift certificate, honestly.
Yeah.
Because buying local is awesome. Mm-hmm. And if you have a local yarn shop where you can buy someone, I don't know, $20 gift certificate would be a great present for mm-hmm. a knitter, I would think. And then if you haven't actually had your face in their knitting kit, to see, do they need a ruler? Do they need scissors? Just let them pick.
Yeah.
That, I didn't know that I was going to answer this question this way. I thought I was going to say something else, but that just came to me.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think?
Like my mom knits, so I buy her yarn, but I also have given her like a shawl pin.
That's nice.
Because she likes, she has a lot of shawls that she makes. What else? There's a Pinterest page, a Pinterest board on your Pinterest page.
Oh, right.
All full of fun, like coffee mugs that say funny stuff.
Okay.
Or shirts that
you
say.
You know, that's funny that you say that because I wasn't thinking along that line at all. I was thinking of things you would use
as a knitter.
Right, right.
But like there's a shirt that I really want that says yarn, wine, and Netflix.
I didn't see that on there. That's really good. That's good. Yeah.
Or like hand lotions, like hand salve.
Like
or
fancy ones.
Nice ones to put in your bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have way better ideas for presents than I do.
I do the research.
You do the research and I say gift certificate. Yeah, whichever. They all work.
Yes.
Anyway, we are out of time for this episode 9. Yeah. Casey, where can people find you online?
My website is kcknits.com, and that's the letter K and the letter C.
And that's where they can find you on Ravelry and be your Ravelry best friend and be your Instagram best friend. And if you want to find me and be my best friend, just go to verypink.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page and my social media buttons are there. And if you want to see the show notes for this episode and every other episode, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab. And for we have the links to everything for each episode that we do, and this episode 9 will be there as well. If you'd like to get your question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from so we can say it on the air. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.